Hi, good morning. My name is Millie Rugal. I am a doctoral candidate, a maternal and child health doctoral candidate at the University of Maryland, College Park. And this project that I'm presenting here, the findings of this project, is not a part of my dissertation, although I've been working on this as a graduate assistant with my mentors since I started at the program. And currently, we are in year two of the program, and I'm going to be presenting the findings of year one. I have no relationships to disclose. Classroom presentations have always taught me to go slow, so I'm going to try to go slow, but I have a tendency to go fast. Please feel free to raise your hand, and I would know that I need to slow down. So I put up this slide here, the definition of CBPR, since the community-based participatory research is quite a mouthful. I'm going to refer it to as CBPR. This definition is by W.K.A. Kellogg Foundation Scholars Program, and I put it up here because I wanted to emphasize the importance of the phrase and the definition, which says research to involve all partners in the research process. And when we started our program, we wanted to involve mothers from rural low-income families as partners, as stakeholders in this whole program. So I'm from UMD, and UMD is a land-grant university, so extension is a big part of our university. And the Agricultural Experiment Station has been doing research. So we were also a part of previously a 14-state study. It's called Rural Families Speak, which did a lot of qualitative research on rural families to find out what are their perceptions, what do they think about their health status. And from there, we found out that rural low-income families, they face very specific health challenges. And as far as health information and health messages is concerned, they want their health messages to be simple and direct. So from there, we thought that it was perfect that our next project should involve the mothers as being stakeholders and participants in our health messages development process, and that is how we came up with this project. So how is CBPR involved in our project? To start with, what we did, we took experts from the field of health literacy, dental health, food security, physical health, and these are areas that we learned from the Rural Families Speak these are the areas where these families face most of their challenges. And we also took consultants and experts from the field of health communications. Then, of course, we involved the mothers themselves in the project. We asked them to get involved as participants. Then we took the specialists and practitioners from Extension who practice in the community, and we asked them to bring these mothers together so that we could come together, have a discussion, and that is how we thought it was best that we present here at CBPR, because it was a perfect match and fit for this slot of presentations. So from our previous research, what we already knew about these mothers from rural areas and from low-income families was that they do face poorer health outcomes compared to others, and they have very limited access to health services. They do not have adequate health insurance coverage, and their levels of health literacy is low. But what we did not know when we were starting the program was how do they respond to these health messages that are, you know, given to them or that they read or they come across in their daily lives. What is their level of understanding of these health messages? How do they act? What prompts them to act? What are the challenges they face in acting on a certain health message? And how do they prefer to receive these health messages? Do they prefer a website or like a face-to-face message or something that they read on billboards? So these were things that we did not know and we wanted to explore more to find about. So when we began the project, we thought we would use an empowerment framework. And in the field, I'll just read out to you the definition of empowerment that has been used. It defines empowerment as a process by which individuals gain perceived autonomy and confidence to achieve control over issues of concern to them. So we decided to use the empowerment framework because we were asking these mothers to act as participants. They were going to be actively involved. So there was a participatory approach. They were going to take a proactive role in the development of health messages, and we thought it may lead them to feel empowered about making good health-related decisions, and it also may lead them to act better on these health messages since they were the ones who were involved in creating these health messages. We knew what they liked, what they didn't like, so we were we thought that this may make them act better or more proactively on these health messages. So when we started the process of health messages development, my mentor, who heads the study at Maryland, she's also a health literacy expert. So to start with, we wanted that the messages should be sound, simple and easy, emotionally appealing. So we wanted our messages to be guided by the health literacy principles. And as I said, we had already identified the areas which were of concern: dental health, food security, physical health. Then the multidisciplinary team came together from extension, from practitioners, from experts, from people who were on the study, from graduate assistants. Everybody together reviewed the health messages literature, and we thought we will use the USDA's learner-focused approach to create these health messages. And then we took these messages to the mothers in the field, and we tested these messages with them. So we tested two sets of messages, food security and dental health, and then we asked the mothers to get involved and work with us to create messages on physical health. So these are just examples of health messages. I will tell you more in detail on the next slide. But in short, we used, after we did our whole background research, we thought we will have two sets of messages, one that would have an authoritative voice coming from an authority figure like a doctor or a nurse. And then we thought the other set of messages would have a peer voice, which meant coming from another mother or a friend, somebody they know. The messages also differed by the amount of content in them. So we started with the shortest message, and we went on to increase information in these messages. Peer voice messages had stories in them. So for example, "Hi, I'm Maria, busy mom of three, and I'm always pinched for money." So some kind of story, whereas the authoritative messages did not have this story. The peer messages were personalized. They were coming from another mother. When we were doing this research in the empowerment framework, one important part was self-control. How do these mothers feel? That do they have enough control in their lives? And we found out that yes, they feel out of control at times, and that is why we decided to have control was one of the major themes that we found in the focus group discussion. So we decided, and that is why we put this part about "I'm a busy mom of three and I'm always pinched for money." So to acknowledge that yes, they're busy and there are times when they feel out of control in their lives and they would like to take control of things around them. As far as the project overview is concerned, in total we had 111 ethnically diverse mothers. We tried to take mothers from all races and ethnicities. They had to be primary caregivers of at least one child between the age of 0 and 12. And there was also eligibility criteria which had to be related to the federal poverty line. So I said we tested two sets of three messages each: authority voice, three messages; peer voice, three messages. They differed in voice and the amount of content in them. So we had individual interviews, face-to-face. This is a multi-state study, so some states did individual interviews, and then some states did focus group discussions. So the participants in focus group discussions, along with responding orally in the discussion, we also used clickers with them to find out what they thought. And because for the lack of time, I cannot go into the clicker part. That's a different presentation altogether. Why we decided to use clickers, what were the findings, but I'd be happy to talk later if anybody is interested in the clicker technology. So when the major things that we wanted to ask them about was, what did they think about their own health? How do they perceive the literacy, health literacy status? Do they think they feel confident filling forms in doctor's office, for example? What is their perception on the sense of control? I've already mentioned that. As far as messages were concerned, we wanted to ask them about what appeals them in a health message. Was it visuals? Is it the length of message? Is it an emotional appeal? Is it a story in the message? Should the message have positive or negative reinforcements? What are the challenges they face to health behavior change? Why would they act on a certain message and why would they not act on a certain message? Another big part of the program was to ask them how would they like to receive these messages? What are the channels they would prefer to receive these messages from? So we did a qualitative data analysis. We split ourselves into teams, and then we created a code book. We used the protocol questionnaire to develop the codes. Then the teams, the members and the teams itself, they compared their notes and their findings, and then we shared the coding with each other. And during the third stage, we had external reviewers, experts from the field who reviewed our findings, and then finally we came to the stage where we could say, okay, these are the findings of our qualitative data analysis. So the major themes from the focus group discussion and interviews that came about was the sense of personal control. These mothers, they need me time. They think they're so busy, things are so chaotic around them that they would like to have some me time and acknowledge that I need control over my own life. They also talked about how do they define health in their family? What are their family health concerns? What factors help them? What are the challenges? What stops them from acting on a health message? How they would prefer to receive a health message? When they read a message, why do they remember a certain message and why do they forget another message? And who are the trusted providers? Would they, you know, believe on a message if it came from a doctor, or would they believe on a message that came from another mother? So these are some of the major themes from the data analysis. And particularly in a health message, what the mother said they would prefer was they would prefer if the message was of medium length, so not very long, not very short. The most interesting and surprising finding was that they wanted the message to come from a pure source, so from another mother, but they didn't want it to just come from a mother. They wanted the message itself to come from an authoritative voice. So saying, my friend's doctor told me. So it was coming from an expert. It was not something out there. So they said they would prefer to listen to a message from another mother, but it had to cite an expert or an authority figure, like a doctor or a nurse or, let's say, somebody at the health center, which you would think that the message is believable. They said they did not want to know what negative outcomes would happen if they did not follow a message, if they did not do what the message asked them to do. They only wanted to know what positive can happen, and they preferred if the message told a short story or included the simple steps to how to act on that health message. And they also said that, yes, they want the message to acknowledge that it's empathetic about their busy life and about the control they want in their lives, and that is why our message said something like, hi, I'm Maria, I'm a busy mom of three. So to acknowledge that, yes, these mothers are really busy. So this is an example of a preferred dental health message. We created a template. As I said, a medium amount of content. It should be from a mother's voice. My dentist told me, so it's coming from an authority figure. What positive can happen? It should tell a short story, and it should be acknowledging their busy life. So the final message goes something like, hi, I'm Mary. I have two kids. I'm always busy and pinched for money. I want my children to be healthy. Don't want my kids to have cavities. Our dentist told me my kids might get cavities, so I should use toothpaste with fluoride. I've been buying bottled water and toothpaste with fluoride added to prevent cavities. So this is all how the process of health message development went. And so we ended up creating a core health message template, which we've been using with health educators and professionals. It asks them to look at this template and when they begin to create health messages, not to think about how long their message is and not to get mired by the different characteristics, but just to start using this template and then shorten it down and make sure that all these components in the template fit in the message. This was the first year of data, 2010 and 11. We are right now in the second year. As I said, another big part of the program was to ask them how they would prefer to receive health messages. And surprisingly, all these focus groups and interviews were conducted in rural areas as defined by USDA. And one surprising finding was that these women said they preferred to receive messages by text. So here in year two, we decided we would do a texting pilot. So we're doing a texting pilot with 30 mothers. We've been recruiting them. They have to send a text to a number, and then every week they'll be getting a health message. And then somebody from the program will call them with follow-up questions to ask them what they think. And we've made a website, we've made some brochures. So at this time, we're also testing various channels of dissemination, including website, email, face-to-face interviews, and a brochure. And then we're doing a texting pilot. We also wanted to involve other stakeholders. So we are doing a focus group discussion. We're doing actually interviews with stakeholders in the program, asking them what they think about health messages and how they should be disseminated. And then we will do a joint focus group after we take the findings from the mothers' interviews and from the stakeholders. We'll get them both together and we'll find out, stimulate a discussion and see what they together think about the challenges in the field that stakeholders feel and how do mothers think they can receive the health messages better from these practitioners in their communities. I want to acknowledge the Rural Health and Safety Education Competitive Program of the USDA, the Education and Extension Service. That's how we started the program. And our partners include, there's a long list, so I'll not just go on to it. This is my mentor, Dr. Bonnie Braun. She is a family scientist and a scholar for many years at the University of Maryland. She's also a health literacy expert, so if you need more information, you should get in touch with her. She's the one, it's a multi-state study, but she's the one who's heading the study at the state of Maryland. Thank you.